Now, according to a 2020 report from the Federal Communications Commission, nearly 27% of Wisconsinites in rural areas of the state don't have access to at least one broadband internet service. Governor Tony Evers has about $200 million set aside in his proposed budget for the next biennium for funding broadband. Republicans in the state legislature have proposed broadband spending in various amounts. And President Joe Biden proposed spending $100 billion nationwide on connecting Americans to high-speed internet. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How is the internet where you live? Fast enough? Too slow? Is it affordable? Has it changed in the last year? Have you gone from 0 to 60 lately? What do you think needs to happen? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. That money I just mentioned is only proposed, but if and when some money does become available, how could it get used? Brittany Byer is executive director of the Grow North Regional Economic Development Corporation. She's also chair of the governor's task force on broadband access for Wisconsin. Brittany, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So that number, about just over one in four residents in the state not having those options for broadband in rural areas. How big a problem do you see that being in those communities?
Well, I think this last year told us a lot about how important broadband really is and has been for quite a while. It is a problem. It's a problem for education. It's a problem and a barrier for running businesses. And telemedicine is becoming the way of the future. So there's just so much that it needs to be done to make sure there's access to everyone.
And you work on economic development in particular. Can you talk about broadband access as an economic development issue, especially for smaller rural towns?
Sure. Grow North is almost 100% rural in the eight counties that I represent. One story I talk about a lot, in one of the counties, a business wanted to do just regular equipment upgrades, and they were willing to put millions of dollars towards this. They had a really great conversation with the provider of that equipment. They got to the conversation where they said, okay, now you have to have constant contact so that we can ping in 24/7. And they said, we have no internet. And they were gobsmacked. So that company wanted to investigate putting up their own tower, which was super expensive. There were just so many of these barriers and hurdles to even just doing regular equipment upgrades. So honestly, I am very, very reticent to talk about Industry 4.0 in my area. And it, clearly that puts us at a 21st century divide if we want to all be competitive.
Can you talk about the challenges of, you know, if I'm a company and I want to put the money into putting in internet and I've got thousands and thousands of customers in this small area, great. I know I'm going to make money going a couple miles to reach that the one road there with two, three houses on it, less of a good investment. Can you talk about that challenge?
Right. So, you know, we hear very often that, you know, the industry has built out where they definitely can see the return on their investment. And the truth is, to do the future-proof building, which is fiber optic by design, right? That is a very expensive proposition. You have to do digging. The equipment is very expensive in of itself. And then there has to be that return on investment. In rural communities, there doesn't necessarily seem to be that return. And that's where we really need to be cognizant that we need public-private partnerships to make that happen, and it's not an easy process, and that's why it hasn't been done yet. But clearly, this is an issue that is not only inside of the state of Wisconsin; it's a federal issue, and that's why as we're looking at this vast bill from the federal level pushing us into the 21st century, this is squarely inside of how we're going to move forward.
There's a bunch of different numbers bouncing around there about investment,
right,
from the federal infrastructure package, from the governor, from state lawmakers. We don't need to get bogged down in the detail because who knows what it's going to end up being. But the scale of the numbers you're seeing from those different parties, does it seem like people are talking about putting enough money in to get what we need?
Well, with all of the money flowing in, it's going to start getting us in the right direction. I can't even tell you how expensive it would really be to do the infrastructure across the whole entire country. I've heard the number floating in just billions of dollars just to solve our problems, right, in the state of Wisconsin. So We want to do as best as we can with all of those resources that are flowing. Now, working with federal and state level grants, that can be a confusing task. And I'm hoping we can take this time right before the guidance starts to flow down to really buckle down and get to the place where we understand who's getting ready, who needs what, and start that type of almost triage work before this inflow of new ways of solving our problems. We've been talking at the task force about that issue, where it's almost, you know, a way we've never seen resources moving before, and we want to make sure that we have the ability to get past some of the hurdles that might be coming, including, making sure that we have enough workers who are trained to do this massive expansion of infrastructure work, making sure that our supply chain stays really solvent as we're moving so quickly. I think those are some of the things that we're having in the background conversations. And I think as we're waiting for guidance from all of these different programs to flow, that's what we're trying to think about.
We're talking to Brittany Beyer, Executive Director of the Grow North Regional Economic Development Corporation and Chair of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband Access for Wisconsin, looking at possible big injections of money from the federal and state levels into expanding broadband service, especially into rural areas. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Heather starts us off in Madison. Heather, hello.
Hi, I'm actually a local elected official from a very small rural town, and we've been talking about this for a long time. We've been talking about putting in our own fiber optic cable. We have a sidewalk plan for our village, and we said, well, if we're going to dig up the sidewalks anyway, why don't we just run conduit and run our own fiber underneath there? And then we can partner with somebody else to come out. I think that we as a society need to view high-speed internet as a utility, that is an American right to have high-speed internet. The entire country of South Korea has been wired for fiber optic cable for over 20 years. And I understand that there's a huge scale difference between us and South Korea, but the reality of the situation is if we want to compete in the 21st century and beyond, we have to do what's necessary to invest in our country, in the infrastructure, to make us competitive, or we might as well just kiss it goodbye. And that means doing it and stop talking about it and start doing it. I hate to sound like Ross Perot, but that's, I think, where we're at. And I agree we need public-private partnerships, but I will also say this, that access to high-speed internet is too expensive. And partially that's because, yes, there's an upfront cost, but they are gouging people. Let's be realistic about it.
Heather, thanks a lot for the call. Heather gives us a lot to work with, Brittany. Let's start with that last point. And I think President Biden, in announcing the broadband plans, made this point as well, that Americans, even when they can get high-speed internet, pay more for it than, say, somebody in Europe or I think South Korea.
Right. And one of the very interesting points inside of that bill is that if you are going to be running your company over these newly built broadband infrastructures, you have to be allocating, you know, resources to make sure that the cost is more effective. And absolutely, it's something that we really understand, and the affordability as being part of the problem. We've been working on that at the task force as well. And because it's an area that hasn't had that much conversation, there's been this anecdotal understanding of the issue, and it's become so compressed because of COVID that we know that everyone needs this access. We know that it's, for a lot of people, way too expensive. How do we make this affordable? And Heather May had a really great point about, a municipality just saying, okay, we're going to run our fiber and we're going to talk to different providers and say, hey, do you want to lease this out? And I think that's part of a great way of solving it, where the municipality recognizes their role. There's a place for the providers to come to the table. And then when you are working in rural communities, you've got a number of different issues that you have to tackle. And so we're trying to make sure that we understand the issue in all of these different angles, but absolutely a great call.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Brittany Beyer from the Grow North Regional Economic Development Corporation, looking at some of the challenges of expanding broadband internet access in rural parts of Wisconsin and how potential federal and state dollars, all proposed at least, could help. You could join in at 800-642-1234 if you encounter a full phone line. You could also email ideas@WPR.org with your questions, your thoughts, and your experiences. We'll continue the conversation, take more of your calls coming up next on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now about what state and federal money could be used for to expand access to high-speed internet in rural parts of Wisconsin. Brittany Beyer stays with us, Executive Director of the Grow North Regional Economic Development Corporation and Chair of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband Access for Wisconsin. We'll go back to your calls now with Andrew in River Falls. Andrew, hi.
Hi. So I'm one of these people that can't get internet. I'm not particularly rural. I actually live just across the river from Minneapolis-St. Paul on the Wisconsin side. And I want to express how difficult it is to live without internet in today's day and age. You can't get a job. You can't participate in a lot of pop culture. You can't pay your bills sometimes. Combined with that, in this part of the state, our part of the community, you really don't have much for cell phone service either, so it's kind of a double whammy. You can't get cell phone, you can't get internet, you can't get TV. It's really like living at this point almost 20 years in the past.
Yeah, Andrew, I wanted to ask, you mentioned getting a job. Like, what do you do when you are trying to apply for a job or apply to get a vaccine, say? So much of that's online these days. What do you have to do to scramble?
You can go to the library, which during the age of COVID has been impossible. I tend to do all my business before work. If I'm sitting in my car, after work, sitting in my car, my wife will go to her friend's house or to the grocery store to bum off their internet signal. So we spend a lot of time in our cars doing internet work from our phones.
Andrew, thank you so much for sharing that. Brittany, I mean, obviously a big obstacle there, but I've also heard that, you know, it's not rural area in the middle of nowhere necessarily we're talking about. I've heard this in the past, too. People living 20 miles from Twin Cities, Madison, Milwaukee, saying they're in the same boat as some rural area, full-on rural areas.
Right. And I was so surprised to learn that as well. I live in the North Woods. You kind of know that you're going to hit those pockets. But when you hear the stories that are that close to these more urban centers, and you think that it's not going to be a problem, then you have to go, well, why is that the problem? And start to put in the pieces to solve that problem. It has to be, there has to be channels for people like Andrew, who he's not the only one. His family is not in an isolated case. They have to be able to go to a channel and have someone hear that. Have that addressed and become part of a larger mapping and understanding who's really underserved and have some plans to build out to these places. So what's really interesting is it probably is a fiber line that needs to be run for 800 yards. And because the cost is such that nobody's really taken it on, it hasn't happened. And so we need to be able to start really investigating some of these end user problems and start to find out how to solve them.
Thanks a lot for that call. Andrew, we'll go next to Dave on the line in Silver Lake. Dave, hi.
Hi there. I might lose you because it's so bad out here.
We got you for now, though, Dave.
I'm in Silver Lake. I'm only about 20 minutes from Kenosha, and we have two providers. We have, I think, Frontier or Time Warner Spectrum, and both are outrageously priced. And I coming from Chicago, like I'm from Chicago, so honestly, I didn't think that it would be that an issue when you look on the map and you're like, wow, I'm pretty close to a pretty major metropolitan area, and to get just nothing from when you're calling these people, when you're calling these companies and saying like, the service is terrible. Even the cell phone service there's black spots, there's dead spots everywhere. I just don't understand why it could be, but when you're in a Wisconsin, Illinois area like this. I just don't really understand it.
Dave, thanks a lot for the call. Brittany, what do you think?
He's not alone in feeling like that. And it's a conundrum because it feels like we want some leadership to solve this issue. And really, I really think this is a moment of active participation at a local level. So if you live in an area where you're in a small, you know, in a village or a town, really just say, hey, is somebody at the town, village, county level paying attention to broadband? Are you guys taking a look at this? If they are, they should be looking at kind of a plan and an overlapping way of looking at where the coverage is and where there are some trouble spots, and then start working with providers. Now, we are talking with the PSC and the task force because the maps that we have available through the FCC are not as granular as we need to solve some of these problems. And that's one of the issues that we're trying to solve. But it really means that there needs to be a light foot put up at the local municipal level, at the Heather level from the first caller, to be part of creating the solutions, because otherwise we're going to continue having conversations like this.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Brittany Beyer, Executive Director of the Grow North Regional Economic Development Corporation, Chair of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband Access for Wisconsin, looking at the needs for broadband access, especially in rural parts of the state, but as you're hearing, not just full-on rural parts of the state, and the impact of possible state and federal money maybe in the pipeline. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234 with Randy in Madison. Randy, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Great topic. And my question was basically, you know, it seems like given the impact of this resource and also perhaps given the recent crisis related to the Texas isolation from federal involvement in power, perhaps I might have some concern about private-public partnership, and maybe this should be something that's federal. Something akin to, you know, the interstate system, and because everyone should have this, and it just seems like relying on localities, in terms of funding and regulation might pose a problem. But wondering about comment on that.
Randy, thanks for the call. So maybe a more standard federal-based regulation across the country instead of a patchwork system, Brittany.
Sure. I'll try to answer this as quickly as possible because it's pretty complex.
Yeah.
But Randy's right. He's pointing to language like utility. But I would say that he's right that, and you're right that it would be done at the federal level. That would be the FCC. Not really confident that that's going to happen, that they're going to name it a utility. However, I can easily say that our infrastructure is not built out. And that's why this is in that large jobs bill that is all about infrastructure. We do need to think about the infrastructure in a better way. And in the absence of having that federal level of oversight, that's what the task force is thinking about. How are we going to make sure that somebody has their eye on the prize at the state level? With understanding how, you know, there's regional nuances inside of our system. There are communities that are more ready to jump on the bandwagon and talk to a provider and get things done. There are, we're looking at Taylor County, who is going through the bonding process and working with a provider to build out what's called a middle mile loop out there, and they'll be in public-private partnership over there, and that might be a way that they solve that. We are going to have this patchwork way of working because that is the condition that we are in, but we have so many opportunities to put in the collaborations and the communication and structuring things and staffing properly to get this corrected.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Sig next in northwestern Wisconsin. Sig, hello.
Hey, I just had a question for the panel there. Has anyone discussed Starlink, the Musk project? And if so, or if not, I guess I've known one person that received that dish, I guess, if you will, and been using it, and it's certainly a pretty legitimate alternative to fiber.
Sig, I'll jump in. We just have a few moments left, but that's that Starlink, that low Earth, I think, orbiting satellites as an alternative to wires. Is that something you've had your eye on, Brittany?
Of course. And there's pilot projects happening here. I would say because Starlink is being built out rapidly through a federal program on the west side of the country, they're going to hit this crazy explosion of users. So we have to wait and make sure that the technology is going to, like, the speed is going to stay up. And with anything satellite, there's this concept of latency that we're watching as well. So if it takes a while to go up, it takes a while to go down. They're low orbiting, but we're still making sure that that's going to be something where people can actually use it.
Yeah, as I understand it, in general, the fiber optic is going to be more reliable and better and
correct,
faster than anything that goes into the air. Is that the state of the art just about?
That's the way that we're thinking. There are going to be, we're kind of thinking about it being technology agnostic, because there are going to be places that are going to have to do something like Starlink. But let's build out the fiber as far as we can and give people choice. And that could potentially drive prices down as well.
We'll leave it there. Brittany, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Brittany Beyer is Executive Director of the Grow North Regional Economic Development Corporation and Chair of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband Access for Wisconsin. We talked to her about state and federal money and current proposals could be used in the effort to expand rural broadband access here in the state. Coming up, if before the pandemic feels like a really long time ago, you're not alone. A guest tells us why the last year has distorted the sense of time for a lot of us. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.